There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday, just a week out from primary day here in Alabama. And we're going to talk a bunch about that this hour with our esteemed guest and my buddy, and get know him from, well, from around town, and maybe you see him, you know, anchoring on WKRG-TV. And he was one of the guys that could make it to the AL1 debate when I couldn't. It's our buddy Peter Albrecht from Channel 5. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good. So, yeah, you made it. I didn't. You asked me, and we hadn't gotten to talk since then. No, I fell and busted my head open. I just got the staples out last week. So it was a legitimate excuse. I was here with you. Didn't I not work on questions
with
you?
We did, yeah. Okay. We met before, and we're texting right up until the fall.
Right. So, and I didn't. So it was not me trying to get out of doing it. But I had a concussion and brain bleeding and all that kind of stuff, but I've recovered now. But that was why I wasn't there with you and Jeff at the debate. But
all went well. I'm glad you're feeling back up to par.
Which may be just weird. I mean, normal for me is kind of weird out there as well. A lot to do this hour. I want to talk with you. Here we are, a week out from primary day in Alabama with some new districts and all that. But I guess the hardest hitting story, before we go anywhere else, I want people to know, because we've been following it and WKRG's reporting on it, the dog with the box on its head has been now captured and deboxed, right?
He was deboxed first, but not captured.
Oh, okay.
Later captured.
Okay.
And it's my understanding he is now at the city animal shelter, being well taken care of, and will, I guess, soon be put up for adoption. I got to believe he'll be
a celebrity dog.
Yeah, he's a celebrity dog now. Have you seen him, though? He's huge.
Yeah.
It's a big dog.
Cane Corso, or I think they're saying the breed is, one of those giant.
I'm not sure what it is, but he's got to be.
But the box is gone, and he has been captured, and he is now up for adoption soon.
Up for adoption soon. All is well with that story.
Because we could sit here and talk about redrawn districts. We could talk about a packed AL2 and the number. But people are like, yeah, but what about the dog with the box?
What about box dog?
Yeah.
Box dog is good.
But you live this. I mean, we do these stories, and then you're like, this other story over here is what right now is getting traction. That's what people wanted. You know, it's like Jeff was running through things that they're working on in the legislature right now in Montgomery, and I'm saying the story I can talk about is HB, I think it's 151, whatever, the squatted truck one. That drives the most texts and calls here. I can say, well, what about this? And we're looking about gaming or gambling, as I call it, in Alabama. They're like, okay, that's okay. But what about the trucks?
Yeah. And who knows what lives out there on the World Wide Web?
That's
you never
right.
know where it's going to go.
Well, yeah, to trucks and dogs for sure. But good to have you in here. And you've been doing just like we have, sitting down with the folks that want jobs coming up next week, at least in the primary side.
Yeah, you know, Sean, I think it's really a fascinating time if you're into politics, which you should be. I mean, we have this new district. We've got this crazy situation with two incumbents running mm-hmm. against each other. 18 candidates on the ballot in District 2 next week. And I think it's really fascinating. And District 2 is going to continue to be fascinating into November.
I think, and that's a change, of course, because I've been saying for 15 years around here, most times the primary is the general.
Right.
AL2 is the exception to that.
No doubt.
I mean, now we've had, I mean, Doug Jones winning the Senate seat and all that, but those are one-offs. But AL2 is set up to be a situation where, at least this cycle, and I would imagine going forward every 2 years, it's going to be looked at up to the general.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the candidates all know that in speaking to them. So first they've got to get by next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would figure that there would be runoffs on both sides.
There's got to be runoffs.
Maybe not. Mathematically, you would think there's going to be runoffs on both sides. Certainly
if there's
the
not a runoff,
side.
If there's not a runoff in AL2, Republican and Democrat, then I would lose money on that. Not that I'm gambling, because you can't do it now, but I would lose money on that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's some stronger candidates than others.
Right.
With a Republican field of 7, I would think you'd have a better chance for somebody to win it outright than Democrats with 11. But I would think there's going to be runoffs in 6 weeks' time. That'll be exciting, too. And then you're going to get to the general election, and then you're going to see a ton of national money be poured in.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a battleground district viewed nationally, and it'll be very, very interesting.
Yeah, we keep saying that, but for people to understand it, it really will be, because AL2 is now in play, and in Washington, that one seat could make a huge difference with how close it is right now in the House.
Yeah, and that's how it's going to be viewed, and then it's going to be interesting locally, because you have the Republican candidate's not going to be from Mobile. We
right.
could have a Democratic candidate from Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Then for a lot of people, maybe more independents or left-leaning Republicans, the question might be, what do I do here? I'd really kind of like to have a guy from Mobile mm-hmm. rather than, you know, Montgomery or somewhere else.
Right.
And so you're going to have a little bit of that in play, too.
Yeah. You have a couple of candidates from on the Democrat side from down here. You also have candidates, and it's like we've talked about 10 times, it's legal, y'all, but you could conceivably have like a Representative Anthony Daniels, who is not just Huntsville, North Huntsville. You know, in the state setting, running in this AL2 could win out. I'm not saying he did, but
right.
he could win out, and he could be the congressman of where we're sitting right here. Somebody who, I mean, I know legally you could do it, but there has to be something about knowing and living in a district that gets you or loses you votes.
Yeah, I think that's going to come into play not only in District 2, but in the District 1
mm-hmm.
Republican side as well. It is interesting. You've got these four state legislators, including Daniels, you mentioned, the minority leader, and then Marika Coleman, who's been around for 20 years mm-hmm. in the legislature from Birmingham, Wandlin Gavans, well-known legislator, Democrat as well, and Jeremy Gray, who's from Opelika, so he's just a little bit outside the district. He's a younger guy, maybe not as well-known, but you have four formidable candidates there who live far away from the district.
Yeah, and to think about also the money, the mother's milk of politics here, and looking at this in AL2 on the Democrat side, where that money comes from. You have, I thought that for a while we would hear Stephen Reed, the mayor of Montgomery, get in, Joe Reed's son, did not happen. Then you see where the Reed support goes in this, and that means a lot in Montgomery. Does it mean much down here? I don't know, but it does come with a lot of, dollars.
Well, it's surprising. It. You know, you look at, there's two candidates on the Democratic side from Montgomery. Willie Lenard, who is a 78-year-old gentleman, super nice person, hasn't run for office before. And then you have Phyllis Harvey Hall, who has run the last two District 2, previous mm-hmm. District 2, and lost. So you don't have from Montgomery a super well-known, well-funded candidate on the Democratic side.
Right. So do you wonder if that, when that money comes from Montgomery, it's coming to the southwest of that district down here. And, you look at it, and what we're talking about is that influence of Montgomery, this district where it's drawn, the two population centers are Mobile and Montgomery.
Right.
Right. I mean, those are the places where it is. I've been asking, I've talked to Todd Stacey a lot of times with Alabama Daily News. I said, what I'm looking for is a heat map. And I've heard some people kind of talk about it, a heat map of Democrat votes in AL2. You know, I would like to see where they are. And
right.
is Montgomery more important than Mobile? I mean, of course, I'm a homer, so I want it. I'm going to look at Mobile, but I don't know.
I think there's slightly more voters in the Montgomery area than in the Mobile area, the way it's been carved up. It's not a huge advantage. I think at first people thought when they drew this mm-hmm. new district, this is going to be a Montgomery-dominated district, and
right.
I don't think that's the case. It's a slight edge. But when you look at this, you have better funded, better known candidates from Mobile
here, right.
than you do in Montgomery.
Which is, that's kind of what I'm getting to. It seems like that money out of Montgomery, there are some Montgomery candidates, but the money from Montgomery is coming down to back candidates here in the southwest portion of Vail, too.
Yeah, I would say from an outsider looking in, the right now the leaders would be down here or outside the district more so than Montgomery.
Right. So the other part of this, and we talk about this many times, hopefully y'all get, let alone listening to us and looking through our site and getting the card. There's people who maybe still, somebody had, was talking about Jerry Carl signs up in what is now AL2. You know, that you see a lot
big
of people.
Big time confusion.
Yeah.
And the candidates all will tell you that.
But, but the stuff is out. It is. You can say because it's real. It shouldn't be, though. Y'all can look. We've been putting maps up forever.
Sure.
And just you can go look and see. And you get the card in the mailbox. It tells you where you're voting.
You get the card in the mailbox, and it's in with all the other junk mail. And
It
goes right in the trash, and you drive over where you've always voted next Tuesday. And
right, true.
You might have a surprise.
True.
And then we're going to have, I think, a number of polling places that are going to have both ballots, both some of District 1 and District 2. Which that's going to be a challenge, I think, as well. So,
and over to the AL1 side, as we look at this, you talk about the geography of this, of two incumbents, but this wiregrass brand of Congressman Moore, and this for sure Mobile County as a county commissioner, and then a congressman, AL1, Jerry Carl, got some geography between them. And I would think that they most have spent the time each one in the other one's area, right? Jerry Carl up in the wiregrass and Barry Moore down here. But I hadn't seen Barry as much as I thought I would.
Well, I think, in talking with him, I think Baldwin County is the key.
Sure. The portions of Mobile County that are still in AL1 don't have the population of Baldwin County.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I think Jerry told me that it's about 18% of the district is Mobile County, 31, 32 Baldwin. Then Escambia, which he represents, is in the district. So he's got about almost 60% in his district. So I think Barry Moore's strategy, and I'll tell you that, has been to go to Baldwin County, super conservative county, and try to out-conservative Jerry Carl in Baldwin County to hack away at that geographical advantage that Jerry has.
Coming right back, more with Peter Albrecht from News 5. We're bouncing around a week ahead of time here, what you're going to be seeing on the ballots. And if you have not checked in where you're voting and what district you're voting in, better check it up. We've got the material on our website, fmtalk1065.com, and we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:22, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday, 1 week out from primary day here in Alabama. My buddy Peter Albrecht from WKRG in studio as well, who's been talking to these candidates, the people you will see on the ballot a week from now. Of course, we got to ask how many of y'all will show up. Y'all have heard me have my meltdown rants in here about voter participation and the lack thereof, the apathy. I don't know. With presidential cycle, it seems to be better. Are we going to get out of the teens on this?
I don't know, because, let's face it, the presidential, which is usually the big draw, is decided. Mm-hmm. And so then, people's interest drops off a little bit. And it's tougher to get into the weeds maybe on some of these other races for judge and county commissioner and school board, but those are the ones that impact your life.
Thank you. Yeah. I have to get Peter to say it. See, y'all, I'm not the only one saying it. It's not that those things aren't important in Washington, but the majority of time your interaction with government is going to be at a municipal, county, or state level.
100%.
But it's just where it comes from.
I've thought that for my entire really adult life, that's who you probably on your daily life. Your city council,
yes.
Maybe your state rep, your school board person.
Right.
Yeah.
People will know some firebrand from another state who's in the Senate in Washington. And then you'll say, who's your county commissioner? Who's your city council? I don't know.
No idea. Yeah.
I mean, that's just the
Yeah. So I don't know about turnout. Maybe 20%. I mean, I think it could be really bad. And then we'll get to a runoff after that.
And then
it'll be really bad. Worse than that. And it is discouraging. But, this is, again, it's a unique deal. We've got two incumbents running in District 1. We've got 18 candidates in District 2.
It's crazy.
And, once somebody's in, too, it gets tough to get them out. So pay attention this time because it might be in District 2, who knows, could be 10 years. You know, you never know, right? You could be electing somebody for a long, long time.
Yeah, Peter, you bring up something. I thought there are a few names, I'm not going to name them, but there are a few names I thought would get in on the Republican side for AL2 that did not. And I wonder, you know, I wondered, okay, maybe they're going to let this just shake out. It's brand new and work on a campaign and coming in. But you're very correct that there's a value, even if it's just a 2-year incumbency, you're starting from behind the blocks then. If somebody's in there and they do anything but a horrible job, then
right. Or there's some sort of scandal.
Right. Yep, right. If you just kind of show up,
right,
make roll call,
yep,
you've got an advantage going into the next election. Because this is a opportunity district, AL2, for Democrats, the way that it was drawn. But it's not a District 7. It's not a, you know, it's not some overwhelmingly Democrat, you know, it's...
No, absolutely not. And the bigger thing in November, I think, is the fact that this is such a red state, right? There's mm-hmm. no drama as to who's going to win in Alabama in November. So that potentially could discourage Democratic voters from going. Am I going to go out and take time out of my day to go vote for Joe Biden? I know he's not going to win in Alabama.
Right.
Well, that's what they've got to fight against the Democratic Party, because those people need to come out. Democrats need to come out strong in November for the congressional race, right? So, but that's going to be a big challenge. That's why I think a lot of people think District 1, although slightly more African-American now than non-African-American voters or white voters, you know, could be a toss-up in November.
AL2, you mean?
AL2, yeah, I'm sorry. AL2.
But, you know, then that brings up something you said early on in this hour, that what does that do with Republican voters that go, okay, we go through the runoff process, whatever, but that candidate for the Republican side in AL2 is not a sure thing and is not, there's not a strong Republican candidate in AL2 that's from down here. It's just
there's right. not there's any not, from right. that's, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's from, well, that's not true. We have Carla Dupree from Mobile, yes. Shepperson's from
there are people
McIntosh, but in terms of well-funded
right.
candidates,
right. So and so because that happens, there's a pragmatic decision, I think, that people will look into and go, do I support the person who at least has roots here, but maybe is the party that I don't support, right. versus the party I support but doesn't have any roots here or doesn't really maybe have a chance. I don't know. I mean, it's not been a question in Alabama in a long time.
Yeah, and that'll be down the line in November, but I think it comes down to how people view their congressional representative as part of a greater overall national divide, or somebody you're focused on your local issues, making this community better, making sure money from Washington gets to this community and is well used here.
It's interesting thinking about the Washington connection at home, and let's just talk about military side or business side. That the line, if y'all have looked at it, if you get in the zoom in map, the line for AL2 and AL1, the breakpoint goes through the parking lot of Austell. Like, so the factory and the facilities there is in AL2, but then the parking lot's in one, if I have it right, or it's flipped. So you go in.
Right.
I wonder when they drew that. I know that they're drawing it for a bunch of, and they got the special master
sure.
and all that. But I wonder if anybody said, hey, you want to split that place right there and put it in both congressional districts. I've asked about that. And of course, people running in these offices are going to say, no, that's not important. I will do whatever, no matter what district.
Sure.
But the Homer in me says, if you have important things that are to our area, if you could split them and somehow put them in both congressional districts.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised they didn't just dip down off of Michigan Avenue and cut Airbus in half, because that's literally I-10 is the right. divider right there.
Yeah, I would love to see. We would see a true gerrymandered map, but it would go in and like say, all the offices on this side of the building are in AL1, these are in AL2, and go through, there'd be the squiggly lines everywhere. But I mean, that's Washington too, as it stands right now. If you're trying to get things funded, if you had two members of Congress going, hey, about back home.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people I know, and I understand the arguments, very upset when the district was divided, when Mobile County was divided, the city of Mobile was divided. The other side of that coin is you potentially could have two from Mobile in Congress, one on each side. So depending on, you know, how the wind's blowing at that certain time, you're always have somebody in play.
Yeah, for sure. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. Our guest, Peter Albrecht from News 5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's at 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number and the text line, as always, 343-0106. Plus, you can leave us one of those talkback messages when you use the FM Talk 106.5 app. It's like a digital Leatherman or a multi-tool out there, so you can stream the station through there. Also, first place or podcast posts are there to the app. I wish it was like a Machiavellian region, Peter, that I had designed it that way, but I didn't design it. This is the way the web works. The first place, the podcast posts are on the app, and then it goes to our website and all the other podcast platforms. Plus, on there are social media feeds with breaking news on there, traffic maps, weather information, show schedules, all that good stuff. But if y'all are looking at it, on the front page, there's a microphone icon. If you'll press that, you can record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back. So just another way to get through to us here at FM Talk 106.5 and the show on the road tomorrow at Ed's. We're heading out to Ed's for Midday Mobile from noon to 1. And then, against my best judgment, Tom Claxton and the Scuttlebutt Radio Network, show for veterans by veterans. My buddies take over from 1 to 2. That's all tomorrow from Ed's. All right, Peter Albrecht, News 5, our guest who's been doing what, you know, we're all doing is trying to make sure we know what's happening before, well, a lot of us, maybe not all y'all, who's on the ballot and why they want the job between now and coming up on March 5th, which is Tuesday, y'all, if you haven't checked it. And I want to get into the runoff stuff, but I do feel like it's cart before the horse. But,
right.
I mean, but we know this is coming, and that's going to be interesting. At this point, I've seen, and there's some PAC money floating around here. I have a feeling that when we go to runoff, that's going to be big time. I'm thinking back. Remember the special for AL1? Remember that when we had six candidates in there when Joe Bonner stepped down?
Right.
And all that. And I was amazed by the PAC money that came in then. I'm like, this is AL1. What do they care? And it was a bunch. And that's been, what, 12 years ago?
Yeah, something that was like it. 13, 14.
It's been a while.
Yeah, 2013 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if we're looking at this balance of Washington in effect in like in AL2. What kind of outside money do we see coming in here and pressure?
Yeah, I don't know. You're going to see it for sure.
Yeah.
No, on both sides, no doubt about it. How that all plays out, I'm not sure. And again, we got to wait and get to a week from now and see who we might have going forward.
This is kind of what we're talking about. Marty said, hey, Sean and Peter, in my opinion, Washington is hopeless. It's amazing to me that people I know can tell me everything about Fox News, CNN, et cetera, but they can't tell me who is on their city council, county commission, et cetera. I made my mind up a long time ago to pay attention to local, city, county, and state government because that is what has an immediate impact on our lives. Subscribe to local news outlets, watch local news cast, city council meetings, or stream live on YouTube. Pay attention to what's happening politically in your town, especially Goat Hill. So, well said, Marty.
Yeah.
And if you can sit through a city council meeting, no. I do it. I do it because it's my job. But sometimes I'm like, oh, what just happened? Which is, okay, that's right. I wish I had like a Supercuts highlight of it. But yeah, we'll watch those council meetings. The Montgomery thing, too, I thought was interesting. This idea of how gambling could deal with the AL2 race. You're talking about turnout. So this is the thing I've heard. And see how this sits with you.
Okay.
That part of the Republican apparatchik would like not to have gambling on the November ballot because it would bring out Democrats for in AL2. Like you just said, Joe Biden is not going to win Alabama, you know, so you get to that general, the Democrats that, you know, would want to come out and be like, ah, the heck with it, you know.
If the gambling thing's on the ballot in November, that's going to increase turnout on both sides, but as as we're talking about, more so on the Democratic side, which is kind of disincentivized from going based on the presidential dynamic.
You're looking at, you know, this gambling bill, whatever, you know, the Senate does with it in Montgomery, but you go, okay, when I heard that the other day, I said, that's, oh, come on, guys, but it seems very plausible that one of the reasons to oppose it in this session and move it down the road would be to prevent, and this is kind of nuanced, but I think it shows up on the ballot to help Republicans in AL2.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's possible, but there's a lot of money to be made, and people want to make it now. They don't want to make it a year from now, so I don't know. I have to wait and see. It's not impossible.
Something that was spun, I was like, that could be a reason to keep it off the ballot. Listen, if we can go through the discussion with the gambling bill and what it looks like, but right now it's in the hands of the Senate. I don't know what changes. That's a question I've asked so many people from state media I've had on the show. I said, what changes could be made to the bill that came out of the House that would get Senate votes that would be okay back in the House? I mean, that's just a frank, regular question, right? What things, if the Senate says no, they need these changes to be made. Are those changes plausible to be made and it still look like the bill that came out of the House and it's something the governor signs off on? I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
You could
Frankenstein
the thing up and make it like, oh, yeah, we can get it through the Senate, but then it's not anything.
You know, we've seen this for, what, the last 30 years? And
yes.
Every so, you know, 2-3 years we have it and it gets close. But, you know, everybody's watching out for themselves and their people and their interests and whatever. So there's a lot of mouths to be fed on this thing. And it, you know, it gets tough to build a consensus on something like that.
Right. Although, if, you know, I mean, I argue that under what came out of the House, you're looking at a gambling utility, should be under the PSC, because if we're going to monopolize this thing. But you're right. Even with that smaller number of people that have a dog in the hunt, they still can't agree with this, you know.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Having just been down this road before, I'll believe it when I see it if we get a bill out.
Looking through AL1 and AL2, also want to talk about, we're talking about locally, a lot on the judicial side has been discussed here, and it's actually caused probably more of the chatter locally on the station than the AL1 and AL2.
Yeah, maybe so, which is kind of crazy, isn't
it? Yeah. And like, I mean, Jeff had an interview earlier where somebody on the court, running for the Court of Criminal Appeals, that's not kitchen table stuff. I mean, but then when you hear them say, here's what that job is, then you go, well, that's pretty important. But people just don't, you know, just don't focus on it.
It's hard to get people broadly excited about judicial races, right? I mean, that's just the tough nut to crack.
But okay, at the same time, what leads y'all's stories?
Oh, sure.
It's violence, right? Violence. It is. It's guns. It's shooting. It's these things. So, to me, this is. It's a horrible thing, but I mean, if you're running for these offices,
you're talking
you can
about
say,
local judges,
yeah,
then,
local
not
judges.
So much on the Supreme Court or Court of Appeals.
No, about local judges,
sure.
Yeah. The local judge races. I mean, I think the whole story should be, you know, here's how I've been effective of keeping these people in prison or sending them to prison, or here's how I can do better than my opponent. I mean, for once, I mean, it drives most news cycles, something about violence going on. So it seems like, at least at this point, you could transition into how important a judge is in these situations. They have their chance to sell it, I think.
Right. Yeah, well, they do. But, and then again, though, in theory, they're applying the law as written by the legislature.
Right. But they don't. But they don't campaign that way.
No, of course not.
They don't campaign that way. Yes, of course, we go back through the civics lesson every time, y'all. The legislative branch legislates, and then the judicial branch amends that. But the law enforcement mechanism is to enforce a law that was passed by the legislature.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
It's just,
you're just throwing a thing. It's like, you know, I'm going to, the local ads, I'm going to stand up for Trump and against Joe Biden. Really? Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. But,
it's just the phrases and the words, you know, that people maybe aren't paying attention and hear and then associate with that name.
It obviously works, though. And speaking of that, so, Peter, we didn't talk about this before, but I am, like, I don't know if I'm sticking with it just to be stubborn or whatever. I think it's still Joe Biden who will be the Democrat nominee, who will be on the ballot for the general. I know all the discussions from elected officials have been on with me to operatives and all that. So, no, this is going to happen. It's going to be Gavin Newsom and all that. But first of all, do you think it is Joe Biden, the President of the United States, will be the candidate in November?
Yes.
Okay. So, we're on that. So we might be on Lonely Island. Everybody
Sure.
But I think if they were going to do it, I think it would have been over like Christmas into New Year, somewhere in there. I know there's a lot
or
of saying that
started,
if they wait long enough, then they don't have to have another process and it can just be named after the convention. But I think it throws tumult in big time if they change it that late.
Yeah. I just don't see it. But that's
okay.
My opinion.
Will Nikki Haley, after, I don't know how, I guess, she's sticking with it to be around. But, I mean, you lose your home state where you were a governor. I'm thinking
she's sticking in it, so she's the alternative if legally something happens.
That's what she's running for, is to be the sidecar on the motorcycle if something breaks down.
With her, you know, the apparatus of her campaign all set up and that kind of thing.
But you got to think about it. You know, these politicians have an ability that I think is not superhuman, but it's rare, that you could lose your home state where you were a governor and not say, to heck with it, and throw the stuff in and say, I'm out. You know, like part of my, I'm like, that's embarrassing.
No, she's the only one left, right? So she wants to be positioned. That's the way I see it, to be the alternative if something happens.
But
I don't know how that apparatus works, and delegates and convention and the whole deal and timing. And I mean, there's so many different things at play.
I mean, this is like, seriously, on both sides, we could have high drama. I mean, this is usually something that by May or so, you kind of know who's going to be on the presidential. I mean, you know who's up. Both sides, there's at least questions about who's up.
Never know.
All right, coming right back. Got some questions from the text line. We'll get them to Peter at 343-0106.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, and my buddy Peter Albrecht from News 5 in studio. And if you didn't catch the beginning of the show, I know the question that leads well beyond a week from now on primary day. The unboxed dog.
All is good with the unboxed dog. No need to worry anymore about the unboxed dog.
But, you know, I would say this, and this would be very cynical of me, but if I was in television news and I'm as a downstream consumer here in radio, I would consider getting a box and finding another dog and putting the box on the dog's head. I'm just saying, if I'm looking for, like, you know, if you get sweeps or whatever coming up, I'm going to find a box and put it on a dog's head. Say, look at there.
Sean.
Yes.
Let's not go down there.
Jason says on the text line, 40%. Okay. 40% don't want Trump. Maybe this is from the national update. Okay, the 40% don't want Trump, but 60% don't want Nikki Haley. Okay, I get it. She had said the other day that, well, look at these primaries, only 40%, you know, voted, and you can't, so Trump can't win the general because of that. But, yeah, she does. Jason, you make a good point. She doesn't take into account that 60% don't want her either. So, I mean, it's like, you know, to say, well, only 40% voted for Trump, well, you know, only 20% voted for you, Nikki Haley. So,
well, you got to believe in yourself. And, you know, I spoke with 19 of these 20 candidates, these congressional candidates, and, you know, everybody thinks they're going to win. Sincerely think they're going to win. And, you know, I got to say, overall, I was really impressed by the pool, and I think we'll come out of it with a good representative.
Yep. Well, it is, you know what it is? It's different. I have fought against the redrawn districts. I think it does not take into account communities of interest. I think it splits. It does a lot of this stuff that I think is bad. But it's the way it is, and at least it is interesting.
Talk show host, it's fascinating stuff.
Purple districts make easier, you know, more material for sure. Let's grab a call here. Mike, I think, is in Mobile. Hey, Mike.
Hey, this is Mike. How you doing?
Hey, good. Sean? Good. You're on with Peter.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I wanted to speak to Peter a minute. This is Mike Dean.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Your old county commissioner.
Yes, sir.
I was just wanting to call in and talk to you about, I need y'all to find out something. I'm confused. Okay. And what I wanted to find out is, didn't Barrymore and Jerry Coyle get elected at the same time?
Correct. They've both been in about 3 years.
Yes.
Now. Yeah. That's right.
So they went in with Obama.
No, they went in 2020.
With Biden.
Yeah. With Biden. Biden. With yeah. Biden, with correct. Biden. Yep.
I get them confused, you know, with Biden and Obama. But let me say, there's these negative ads, and everybody who talks to me wants to know if I got some inside scoop or whatever, mm-hmm. which I don't. I don't understand these ads when both of these congressional seats, both of them went in the same time. Neither one of them voted against Trump.
Right. And Mike, and I appreciate the call. You're spot on. I mean, I've said this. The two, Moore and Carl, vote 94% the same way. Neither of them are anti-Trump. Okay, it's the
no one's anti-Trump, no one's anti-wall, yeah, no one's a liberal, right?
Right. This is what y'all are hearing is really not even the candidates. It's campaign direction. It's where here's what I think happens behind closed doors. Because I would think if I'm a candidate, I'm going to say I'm not going to run that. That's BS. I'm not going to run that. And they'd say, "Well, do you want to lose?"
Right.
That's what I think is said.
Yeah, no, Jerry told me, he said, you know, I hate all the negative politics, but, you know, you get there and somebody says something about you, and then you got to want to set the record straight, or if you've got something on them, that's what the big they, in quotations, say, is that negative campaigning is effective.
Yeah.
Study after study.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can go back to the start of our republic, and you know, John Adams was famous for mudslinging. So, I mean, I want to run the wishbone, and they go, "Well, you're going to run a pro offense." No, I want a wishbone. Do you want to lose?
Right.
Okay. Well, that's what you're going to do. I want to. This one too. We have a chance to address it. Buddy says, "Why were there no local news reports of the bomb threat to the Attorney General?" There were. Bill Riles on earlier this morning. That's a hell of a story too. A pipe bomb with nails in it and stuff at the AG's office. That's crazy.
It happened on a Saturday morning. So that's...
Which, let's talk real stuff. That, for Buddy and others here, that actually makes a difference. If it happens on a Saturday, it doesn't hit the news cycle the same way. It's wrong, but that's the reality of media these days.
Yeah. People view, you know, people's news consumption is different on the weekends than it is.
If it happened on a Tuesday morning, dude, it would have been...
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm very interested to see. I mean, we're talking about because usually you'll hear a bomb threat, and you're like, yeah, nothing. That's a real bomb. Real bomb at the AG's office. So
And again, you know, how can you imagine the security you at least should have in these buildings? There's got to be images.
I'm with you. They set it out front. Is there not video?
There has to be. If there's not, that's
then
an
we,
issue.
There's a news story.
Yeah, right.
If there's not, as we get money to build a new state house, how about we have some video?
A few cameras,
ring doorbell. You and I can. We can. Peter and I can. We're not even engineers. We can go install that.
We can figure that out.
All right. If people want to get more of your coverage on this, how do they find you?
Well, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we'll put up a site that will have thumbnails on all the candidates. Talk to them all. We have about a minute 30 features on all of them. Talk about some of the issues. Candidates living out of the district and how geography will play in. Everything you need to know, am I in District 1, am I in District 2, the whole deal will be there at WKRG.com.
Good stuff. Great to see you, brother.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on the way. And, coming up, we'll add to those interviews on our website. A few more coming up this week. I don't do any on Monday and Tuesday, so you'll be finished hearing from the candidates by Friday on this show. Yeah, he's on the way, and my buddy John Sharp from AL.com joins me next.